Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's clean, O-R-I-G-I-N.com, code RADIO10.
So let's get on with the show.
Welcome everybody to the show.
The Bob and Sherry Show with Bob.
Here's what I do. I talkie on radio.
And Sherry.
And you are the most important women in broadcasting.
And now, broadcasting from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Wowzers, gateway to the weekend, everybody. Happy Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
We have just such a thrilling show for you today, and I want to kick it off. I had the best random encounter with a stranger yesterday afternoon. So I had popped into the store to get a couple of important things for dinner. I got 4 bottles of wine, 2 bags of Skinny Pop, a multi-pack of M&Ms for Kevin, and some cat treats. And as the guy is, it's a guy who's like, I don't know, he was maybe 60-something. As he's swiping my things across the belt, he looks at me and he goes, the body's a temple because I'm buying wine and popcorn.
He said that?
Yeah. He winked at me. He goes, the body's a temple. I said, oh, praise, yes. It's a magnificent temple. And I was like, dude, listen, I spent years cooking dinner every night for children. They are away right now. And so this is dinner. And he's like, isn't it the best? I was like, yeah, because it is definitely true when you're the person responsible for doing all the meal planning and all the prep and all the cooking. It is the best thing in the world to be like, y'all are on your own. Mommy's having this bag of Skinny Pop and some wine for dinner. It was so lovely. And he recognized that. And it was like, my man, my fellow tribe member. Yes, sir, buddy. It was excellent. I love those little random encounters that you have with strangers. Like
what was that book? We had the author on years ago. And the author looked at her shopping list. And on the shopping list, there were like 2 things, eggs and vodka. I think that was the name of the book.
Hey, you can do worse. You know, you can do worse.
That's right.
Than eggs and vodka. So that reminds me. So my friend Uncle Sparkles, he has a coworker who has chickens. And so he texted me and he's like, hey, is there any chance you would like to have some eggs? Because here's the truth about having, and I have a neighbor with chickens. Here's the truth about having a coworker, a friend, or a neighbor with chickens. You're going to be getting some eggs because
yeah,
these chickens are some. My neighbors across the street, they moved here from Rhode Island and they got chickens. And the chickens have been very fruitful and have multiplied. They also have a rooster. So they have a flock of chickens. They're giving Purdue a run for their money. These chickens lay so. I've never had a chicken. I didn't know. These chickens lay so many eggs. Like, it is crazy. If you have like 6 chickens, how many eggs you get from these 6 chickens?
Does the rooster crow in the morning, like at daybreak? Because they do that. Where the heck was I? I was on. Yeah, we were at some sort of a hotel in a rural area, and they had their own farm. And that damn rooster, every morning as soon as the sun thought about coming up, you would hear that. And the chicken coop is right next to the room.
He does cock-a-doodle-doo, but it's not annoying. He like cock-a-doodles once or twice. I don't even hear it. Kevin hears it, but I don't even hear it. We have so much wildlife in our neighborhood. Would y'all like to hear my impression of the owl that lives outside my house? Are you ready? It's so...
Yeah.
I didn't know at first that this was... Because I didn't really grow up around owls, and the only owls I knew were like from Winnie the Pooh and the Tootsie Pop commercial. I had never actually lived in a house where there were a lot of owls, and we have a ton of owls because our house is surrounded by trees, and they sound like, when I first moved here, I thought, where is the house with all these party and rednecks? How can I meet these people? Because these owls chuckle. And they do like redneck hooping and holler. And so it sounds like this. Woo, 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 woo. Please be impressed by my owl impersonation.
That was pretty good. Yeah.
That does sound like the infield at a NASCAR race.
Yeah,
you're exactly
when
right.
When I first moved in, I would listen to this. And then one night I finally went into Kevin and said, the neighbors all seem so quiet and withdrawn, but there's a redneck party house here somewhere. We got to go find those people. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you know, the ones that are always yelling, hoo, hoo, hoo. And he looks at me and he goes, oh my God, woman, that's an owl. Have you never heard an owl? Yeah, I'm Winnie the Pooh, but he doesn't sound like that.
Yeah, when I think of an owl, I just think of the Hulu owl. Have you seen that promo with the Hulu owl?
Yeah.
Hulu.
Oh, no, not. We got party owls in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, folks, you have landed on the right radio program today. We've got morons in the news coming up. We've got comedian Tim Young. It is Laugh at Work Week. Woo, buddy. Woo. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
We're sending teachers to enjoy a beautiful stay at Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach, Florida. Nominate a teacher at bobandsherry.com, and we could be sending them off to paradise this summer from Visit Florida. You can call 844-52-SHERRY. That's S-H-E-R-I, by the way, or go to wherever you get your apps. And you can find the Bob and Sherry app and download it. Hit the microphone in the middle of the page and just tell us what you're thinking. It was, I don't know, a few days ago, we were talking about the new Roadhouse movie. And I think we have one of our listeners who would like to comment on that.
Hey, Bob, Sherry, Max, Lamar, and Doc. I wanted to just make sure that you put this on your radar, as I haven't heard anybody say anything so far about Roadhouse and the reboot of it with Jake Gyllenhaal. You're the reason why I saw Roadhouse to begin with, because of your love of the cheesy lines and Patrick Swayze and, you know, it's time to be nice until it's time not to be nice. Come on, y'all.
Yes,
I want to hear your review. I can't watch the revival until I know what Lamar and y'all think about it. This is Amy calling from Indiana. Bye-bye. Love the show.
I think we commented a little bit on it, didn't we? I tuned into it right in the middle of it, just before he was about to kick some bad guy's butt outside of the bar. And I just had to stay with it until he actually did that.
Well, Amy, you're welcome for me turning you on to the original Roadhouse, the greatest Roadhouse that will ever be. And not to spoil anything, but I have a lot of feelings about the new Roadhouse. And I'm going to review that on tomorrow's show. I don't want you to miss it.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I don't want you to miss it. Yeah. Because it's this is a near and dear subject to me, and I appreciate the fact that they went to the trouble to take a great star, Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh my gosh! I mean, oh, what a wonderful star, and give him the opportunity to attempt to outshine Patrick Swayze.
Let me ask you this, and I don't want you to do any spoilers because you're going to review it tomorrow.
Not going to.
But one
not
of the to. Most insane things in the first Roadhouse, and it is a masterpiece of basic cable repeat viewing,
is
the bad guy who, I forget who the actor is, but he drives around. Thank you. He drives around singing that weird Shaboom Shaboom song.
Shaboom. I thought so, too. I thought it was just absolutely so out of left field, so bizarre.
But iconic yes. Because a villain is memorable for something like that. Do we have a villain with a memorable hook like in the first Roadhouse?
Well, if anybody knows anything about McGregor, that's a boxer and a fighter and a MMA. I mean, oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, but he plays it completely different. Ben Gazzara, you know, he's been a serious actor. I mean, he did some great stuff. And so for him to be the over-the-top villain and just venomous and just terrible.
I never bought it. I never bought it for one second. Ben Gazzara was on television, some TV show as I think a doctor or something. I mean, playing a nice guy. That's
Ben
as a kid.
Casey.
That's what I.
I think,
what
was it? Ben Casey? Was he on
Ben Casey?
Yeah, I think
no,
so.
Yeah, he was.
No. That was Vince something. It was another show. He wasn't Ben Casey.
No,
but
it was
that.
On
I think
the
it was,
show is what I'm saying.
Oh, on the show?
Yeah,
that
on,
could
yeah,
be.
He was on yeah, the show. Yeah, I, he was a, I don't one of the show. I think he was well. The older doctor. He was the older doctor, I think.
Oh, okay. Ben Gazzara just could not play, in my mind, somebody who was evil. And then they couple it with him swerving all over the road in a convertible singing Shaboom. I mean,
You're missing the point. You're missing the point. An actor that has been locked into roles where he's the good guy and the hero and the nice guy and the fatherly figure and all that. You give him an opportunity to be the bad guy. Now, Max, you're an actor. Am I not right about this? You give somebody an opportunity to be the bad guy and turn them loose. They will do something, will they not?
As somebody who's portrayed Adolf Eichmann on stage, I'd say yes.
Yes, you lean into it. Lean into it. And he did.
I'll bet you didn't know that Roadhouse is loosely based on a true story. Did you know that?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No.
Because there was a guy who was a bad guy that lived in this town by the name of Ken Rex McElroy, and the people in the town, he committed crimes and did awful things, and he kept on getting off on it. So people in the town just went and killed him. And then everybody, they said, what happened to him? And everybody was like, we don't know. And 60
really?
Minutes ended up coming to that town and doing a story about it. But nobody was really? Ever convicted of that murder. So it was loosely based on that.
And that was loosely based on the Orient Express. Because if you get enough people to kill somebody, nobody gets in trouble.
Oh, yeah,
now
that's
you're giving away Orient Express.
This is a real deep show today, guys. Real deep.
I'll say.
Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's go!
Harvesting idiots from around the globe.
You stupid moron.
It's Morons in the News with Bob and Sherry.
Okay, what do you think, y'all? What do you think the court gives you if you go into a racetrack convenience store in Florida completely naked? You walk in and you are a woman and you are completely naked and you start acting just kind of crazy. You start grabbing things, you start eating things. I can't even tell you what else this woman did. And then the cops show up and she does not stop. She sees two cops come in, got the uniforms, the whole thing, and they're telling her to calm down. And she still starts grabbing potato chips, opening them up, and doing stuff that I cannot describe on the radio. What do you think the court gives you for doing something like that?
A round of applause.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
She's 35 years old. Celia Barrett is her name, and it was in Florida. It doesn't say the name of the town, but she was sentenced just the other day in Pinellas County. And
2 weeks.
She's in the jail.
Two weeks.
Sherry, what do you think it is?
Probably 30 days for property damage.
Okay. It's the charge was, by the way, disorderly intoxication. Isn't all intoxication a little bit disorderly? I mean, can you be completely...
I don't get disorderly when I get it.
Yeah,
sometimes
right.
I just cry and then I go to sleep. It's not disorderly
at all. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why I asked that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I asked that question.
Yeah.
She got 15 months in state prison. 15 months.
They just said she
wouldn't calm down.
You know why I find that really offensive? Because a man was just convicted and found guilty of raping his own stepdaughter and he got less time.
Yeah.
So I find
that
offensive
so yeah.
that
yeah,
her ripping open a package of ding dongs in the racetrack while buck naked got 15 months. Go ahead, take it away.
A little more.
Not much,
tourists were taking an airboat to airboat tour through the Everglades National Park in West Miami-Dade, and the operator made a too quick U-turn so that they could all get a picture of a crocodile and flip the boat over on its side. So now everybody's in the water screaming, "Where's the alligator? Where's the alligator?" And evidently the alligator was scared off by all the commotion. So they're all sitting there. They can't get the boat turned back over. So a good Samaritan airboat captain, he was doing a private tour and only had like a couple of people on there. He stopped and was able to pick everybody up and get them back to where they needed to be. Nobody was injured. Nobody got eaten. But it turns out that the operator of that boat had not completed a boating safety course, and he did not have a captain's license issued by the U.S. Coast Guard, so he was arrested and put in jail. Now, I can't imagine how many people hop on boat tours, paragliding, zip lines, all other kind of stuff that could kill them without seeing any proof of training or certification. I've done it myself dozens of times. I just automatically assume they know what they're doing. I think I'm going to start asking a few questions. I might want to see some license or something.
It's true.
You never know.
Wow.
You know, it's too late if you're dead.
You know, I belong to a boat club, and I take out like six or eight people in these tri-tune boats out in the middle of, you know, the ocean. And I have no license. You could just get a boat and put it in the water.
I'm not going with you, Bob. Not doing it.
And finally, in Morons in the News today, we have video of a vicious dog attack. A pair of pit bulls attacked a car in Jacksonville, Florida, and destroyed it. The owner of the car was asleep. It happened around 3 o'clock in the morning, and she woke up and saw what had happened to her car. She said, "I thought maybe somebody shot my car." So she called the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, and police showed up, and they looked at the various security camera, you know, Ring doorbell footage that people had in the neighborhood. And they went back and said, "Ma'am, that was not a person who did that to your car. That was dogs." And the video shows, and we have the video. The video shows the dogs attacking the car. It turned out the dogs were trying to get to a cat, but the cat, in her great superiority and wisdom, got away completely unscathed, and the car took the brunt of it. The insurance company said there was thousands of dollars of damage that I guess they're going to cover. And guess what they can't find? They can't find the dogs that tore the metal off of this car. So we're going to post this video so you can check it out. Do not go anywhere. We have comedian Tim Young coming up. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
Lamar has shared a bunch of really cool stuff with us about the cicadas that are about to emerge in the United States. Billions of them. Well, I have something fun for you. Did you know that cicadas are the strongest urinators in the animal kingdom? Cicadas have a flow that puts elephants and human beings to shame. Like those guys who in that fishing boat in the Flomax commercial, you don't want it with a cicada, boys. Those things can pee like fire hoses. Here's another fun thing. Bet you didn't know that, did you? Did you?
No.
Did you? You didn't. No. No. And be a lifelong learner because that's how you keep your brain active. All right, here's the next thing that cicadas have. So cicadas don't eat tree sap. They eat the xylem, which is like the fibery tissue that's loaded up with water and a little bit of nutrients. But it's really hard to get to the xylem because it just doesn't flow out when a bug taps into it like sap. It's under negative pressure, this xylem. So cicadas have a built-in pump inside their heads. They put their little proboscis into the tree, and then their head starts pumping the xylem out of the tree.
Oh.
They spend almost their entire lives drinking, which is why they are one of nature's strongest urinators. Cicadas are the king. It's 2 to 3 times faster and stronger a flow than elephants and people. Like, woo! That is really
Sherry?
Something. Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
How do you sleep at night?
I don't much, to be honest. My brain is always racing. Racing all the time. And
Bob?
You come
up with stuff that nobody else does.
Let me tell you something, mister. There's so much of it inside my pumpkin head noggin that I had to create a whole separate podcast to get some of it out. It's called True Weird Stuff, new episodes every Friday. I can't wait. Like, when I tell you that I cannot wait to tell people that cicadas are the strongest urinators in the animal kingdom, like, the weekend cannot get here fast enough for this girl. It's
Hello,
Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's clean, O-R-I-G-I-N.com, code RADIO10.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Tim Young.
I drive a Subaru Outback now. It's cool. This is the first time I've been so high off the road. I usually drive tiny cars because I like gas mileage. I drove a Mini Cooper. That was my last car. It's cool, right? I test drove a smart car before I got the Mini Cooper. It was the scariest test drive of my whole life. Have you guys ever ridden in a smart car?
No.
I got in the driver's seat, and without leaning, I could adjust the passenger side mirror. I'm like, oh.
Me, 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 me.
That's a real pitch of the horn in there. You ever notice how they match the horn to your car size? That's humiliating. You gotta have a good horn, because your horn is for what? Emergency? No, it's for anger. It's for anger, and your horn is an implicit threat to the other drivers. And the longer and deeper your horn, the more of a threat it feels like, right? I will kill you.
Me!
I'm pretty angry at you. You're a bad person. My favorite horn is an 18-wheeler horn. I love it when they honk it. Don't you love it? Because there's no anger in that. That's just very matter of fact. Move or die. Let me think it over. Driving that smart car was so scary because you got to share the road with other cars. It's like a Chihuahua and a Great Dane in the same. We pull up at a stoplight, someone pulls up next to you, you just see a tire, like a tire. That's us in the hubcap, we're not gonna make it. This guy pulled up next to us. He's one of these guys who put his house speakers in his car. Do you have those guys here? He's got like 18 speakers in his vehicle. And he turned his bass up so high that it could restart my heart. That's always a good. The whole smart car started vibrating. And then we scooted right into oncoming traffic. It was a terrible accident. Our airbag went off, though. Reinflated the car to its original size. There is no airbag in that car. There's a body bag in a glove compartment. I've been in an airbag accident. Anyone else? I mean, I was in a car. I wasn't just walking down the street with an airbag. I'm a super cautious pedestrian. I was in an accident, the airbag came out. Anyone ever had the airbag deploy? Anyone? Yeah, buddy back there? What'd you hit? Yell it out.
Head-on collision.
Oh, you hit a head-on collision? Oh, that's the... You were driving on the wrong side? No. Everything okay? You got it? Airbag came out? Do you remember it, or did it knock you out? It hurts, doesn't it? Doesn't feel like there's air in the bag? It's poorly named. It hits you right in the face, and you don't see it come out. It comes out faster than the human eye can even detect, and that's why it's so weird. You're in the accident, your face hurts. For a second, I thought the other guy had gotten out of his car, hit me in the face, got back in his car, but left a balloon behind because he felt bad about it. I think I hit a clown. I hit a remorseful clown. Airbags come out at 300 miles an hour. Did you know that? I hit the car in front of me. going 10. I would have rather ran my face into the steering wheel going 10. Now something is coming out of the steering wheel at 300? What if I was eating something? A 300 mile an hour taco would kill you. That would kill you. Delicious. Ow. OnStar. OnStar. Have an unusual problem. There's a taco on my neck. Burns. I put hot sauce on it.
That is comedian Tim Young. And you can find that set at BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab. Look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. And while you're there, I want you to think about a teacher you know who is just given 1,000%, working so hard and not getting paid a fraction of what they deserve. And, you know, spring break, that's for kids. Teacher work days are when teachers go to work. And that teacher could sure use a little bit of love. Nominate them to win a trip to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers, courtesy of our friends Visit Florida. And if you're a teacher listening going, I need that, you nominate yourself right this very second at BOBANDSHERI.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
It is so interesting watching like your kids make big time rookie adult mistakes. Like here's the example. So Elizabeth, Karamia's friend, who is on, she's part of our True Weird podcast team. She does so many cool things. Just turned 21. So she's older than Karamia by a handful of months. And they, her parents took them out to dinner to celebrate, a group of friends. And then they went back to the house and spent the night. So nobody was driving or anything. And they had White Russians and champagne. And if there is a quicker and more efficient recipe for a one-way ticket to Pukeville, I can't name it. White Russians. You have liqueur and milk, right?
Right.
And then you add some champagne to that because we have to toast. It's a milestone birthday. You add some champagne to that. Mm. And now you've got sugar and wine and milk. And what else is in a White Russian? Some kind of liqueur.
I think I've only had one in my life. I can't tell you. But just the idea of alcohol and milk was so disgusting to me mentally. Oh. I never had one again.
My oldest, when she turned 21 a couple years ago, did not understand that the giant bottle of Barefoot Pinot Grigio, like the gallon-sized bottle, do you know the one I'm talking about? That costs $4 at the gas station. That's right. Not a single serving. Okay, right. Let me tell you what that child's first legal cocktail night was. She and her friend locked themselves in the bathroom, dyed their hair bright crayon yellow, and then puked for hours. That was
Welcome to adulthood.
We call that the Barefoot Pinot Grigio incident in our house. So I get a text from Karamia, and she's like, "Mom, I'm having White Russians and champagne. What should I do?" So I replied, "Pin your hair up and bring a blanket to the bathroom." Because Karamia doesn't drink. She's one of these people that doesn't like the taste of alcohol at all. Mm-hmm. Like, so even for a special occasion, like she, you know, we would, if we were doing a champagne toast for like a wedding, we've had a couple of those in the family, Karamia mm-hmm. would get sparkling grape juice in her glass because she does not like the taste of champagne at all. And a few years ago, we were at a 4th of July family party, and there was a table filled with glasses that had either orange juice in them or mimosas. And one of the women at the party said to Karamia, "Honey, let me get you a juice," and gave her the wrong kind of juice, gave her the mimosa. So Karamia at this point is like 15. Karamia comes to me and she's like, "Mom, I don't want to be rude, but is there any way to tell them that the orange juice has gone bad?" I said, "What do you mean it's gone bad?"
It does taste that way. That's, I said, "Let me," is such a great description of that.
Yeah. I said, let me taste it. And I tasted it. And I was like, honey, where did you get this? And she said, Miss Ann gave it to me. I said, sweetie, this has liquor in it. You can't drink this. It's not that the orange juice has gone bad. This is alcoholic. Go dump this and go get something else. So when she texted me that she was having White Russians, my first thought was, are you the dude in the Big Lebowski?
That's all I can think of. Yeah.
I have not seen, outside of that movie, you guys, I have not seen a human being order a White Russian. I'm not sure I've ever seen a human being
it's,
order
it's
a Kahlua, White Russian.
It's Kahlua, vodka, and an ounce of cream.
Oh, Lord.
I know
you're
really
the viceroy of Barftown. Yeah.
In the Big Lebowski, that the White Russian was like a character in the movie.
Yeah. I've never seen a person order. There's another drink I've never seen somebody order, and I don't know what's in it. But I think it's a cousin to the White Russian. It's called a Rusty Nail. I think it's the everything but the milk. Anywho. So
it's
White
got,
Russian.
I think a Rusty Nail, I think, has like three or four liquors. And there's no mixer in it. I think.
Terrible idea. So the White Russian and the champagne. And one of the kids sends me a picture and they're making a toast. And the face that Karamia, like you can tell Karamia just tasted it. And her whole face is like, yeah. So I said, you need to be slowing down or you're going to be sick. And she said, right. That's okay. We had a really delicious dinner of steak. And I thought, life comes at you fast, but not as fast as White Russian champagne and steak at 2 a.m. in the bathroom of somebody else's house.
A rusty nail is 2 ounces of blended scotch, a half ounce of Drambuie, and bitters.
Wow. Who hurt you people?
I mean, come on.
So, I'm going to check in and see how they're doing. It's a little early. I have a feeling they're not doing great. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, oddcast, fun size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Well, this may come as a surprise, but April 1st through the 7th is Laugh at Work Week. Have y'all ever heard of this? Laugh at Work Week?
Laugh
no, that's a thing.
Laugh at Work Week.
It's been going on for a few years. Yeah. Basically, they're saying that, you know, let laughter reverberate through the workplace. You know, have fun. It's the best antidote for stress. If you're laughing and feeling good, you're not stressful. And when people are not stressful, they're happier and they're more productive. So if you want people to be productive, they need to enjoy being where they're at. Workplaces don't always have that. I mean, a lot of times I got to get up and go to work. It's humdrum. It's a daily task. You're doing the same thing over and over and over. But during Laugh at Work Week, laughing will be on the top of the to-do list for places. So if you're a boss or a supervisor, be thinking about this. Get your people, you know, give them something to do, something different. I mean, you know, my thought process.
Why do I feel, Lamar, like the mascot patron saint is Michael Scott of Laugh at Work Week?
Yes.
I mean, that's the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah,
why do I feel? Exactly right. Why do I feel like you're getting a joke instead of a raise?
You know? Yeah, pizza party.
Pizza party.
Yeah. Without the pizza. Without the pizza.
But I mean, you know, think about it. They talk about it. They got some tips on the Laugh at Work Week.
Let's hear it.
Screen funny movies at the workplace. You know, early in the morning. You know, put something up that's funny. Let everybody laugh. Maybe at lunchtime, you know?
Okay, can I ask a question? Be honest, like Dark Night of the Soul honest. What would you rather do? Show up at work. Let's say we had real jobs. You know, the kind where you have dental. Like we've got real jobs and we show up at work. And the boss
says, I had one of them for a long time.
You did, yeah. And the boss says, all right, everybody, at 3 o'clock today, we're all going to get together and watch Talladega Nights. Wouldn't you rather just be allowed to go home at 3? Like, I love Talladega Nights, but I want to go. I don't want to watch a movie at work. I want to go home.
No.
I don't think I've ever worked. I've never worked for a station that would blow an hour and a half on a movie. I mean, it's a nice idea. Maybe, I don't know, some shorts, some sections of a movie, like the Pink Panther, you know, Clouseau does something goofy. maybe you get together around the coffee machine, you know, and watch that. But a whole movie wouldn't work, I don't think.
No, wait. If I was doing it at work, I would go get a big bag of biscuits, some breakfast biscuits, and I would bring it in. I'd have coffee and orange juice and all this stuff set up. And we would watch half of a movie while we all had a breakfast together, half of the movie. And then at lunch, I cater in lunch, and we watch the rest of the movie at lunch. Yeah, you're going to screw up a day, but this is fun. This is something people like to do. I'm not tagging it at the end of the day because you're right. Most people would want to just go on home, but you go ahead. I'm not getting into your time. I'm getting into our company time. It's our time.
Okay.
That, you know,
okay.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. If you cram it into the middle of the day, then we're on board with it. But Bob and I have been on the receiving end of far too many ice cream socials at 5 p.m. And we've been awake and working since 4 a.m.
Although we've been to some staff meetings where we laughed out loud, you know?
Oh, yeah. So
That was inappropriate. Yeah.
The comedy wasn't intentional, but it was good.
Yeah.
Right.
Remember staff meeting we had when we got bought by Greater Mediocrity and they sent down their corporate HR person who should have starred in like The Departed because she was terrifying. She is from South Boston and she was like, no nonsense. And she told us all the good news that basically we were losing all of these benefits, but that the company was going to help us create a little savings account and we could save some money in that account to make up for the benefits they were taking away. Oh my God. Yeah, besides her. Yeah.
Or the time we were at a staff meeting and we were told we were going to get paid less for doing commercials.
To teach us how to say no. Yeah.
So that people wouldn't come to ask us to do commercials.
Yeah, we were laughing at work,
Max.
Lamar.
Yeah.
We were laughing.
Max, could you not have warned me that when I came up with the have fun at Laugh at Work week, that we were going to turn this into some dark situation?
Lamar, how long have you been associated with this show? Did you not know this is where it was going to go? I could have predicted that.
Listen, I've still got that spark in me. I'm hoping. Slowly but surely,
it's the Bob and Sherry show where hope dies.
Welcome to all. Well, thank you, Lamar. That was that was a terrific idea.
Yeah, I feel a whole lot better about that now. Y'all enjoy your workplace. Please do.
Right. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
I am looking at a picture of two men. One of the men is a gentleman named Bernard Bluestein of Hoffman Estates, Illinois. And the other one is John Christman of Leesburg, New Jersey. One of them is 99 years old, and the other is 100 years old, and they are getting the Congressional Gold Medal. And why are they getting that? They are the remaining people in what was called the Ghost Army in World War II. After the war, information on the Ghost Army was kept secret for more than 50 years until it was declassified in 1996. The military unit consisted of 1,000 men, 82 officers under Colonel Harry Reeder. Despite their relatively small numbers, the Ghost Army was able to simulate 30,000 soldiers or two divisions using radio, sonic, and visual deception, according to the National World War II Museum. And what did they do?
That's pretty cool.
They had blow-up tanks. Tanks that were not real. They were made out of rubber or plastic, and they were blown up and carried to a field so that the Nazis would you know, their spies would see it and say, oh my God, there's like a division over there. And they would have sounds of, armor rolling.
On loudspeakers. Yeah.
On loudspeakers. Oh, exactly,
man.
Right. And they totally conned the Nazis. The Nazis thought that it was 30,000 guys, and there were, 1,000. And not even that many, because they were scattered evidently around Europe. So they were absolute heroes. The gold medal, it's engraved, and it has pictures of two GIs building stuff. There's a tank, a fake tank in the background. It is the coolest thing.
Cool.
A lot of them were artists, because they had to make these things look real, too.
Right, right, exactly. And so it was visual, and like Max was saying, they would have loudspeakers, and it totally fooled the Nazis. So two of those guys, and they look pretty damn good for their age, too, 99
very
and
cool.
100.
Very cool.
Yeah, God bless them. This is Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
It is talkback time. Now, if you have a phone, we answer that when you call 844-52-SHERI. Or you can grab our app. It's free in Google Play and the App Store. And there's a little microphone in the bottom center of the screen. Just tap it and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Hey, Bob and Sherry. I was catching up on some of your podcasts, and Lamar was talking about the whole right on red. I used to bike to and from work, and I almost got hit a few times by vehicles. I did get bumped a few times. A lot of them were by minivans. So I can see how that's a bad thing, but at the same time, a good thing, depending on how you look at it. So just wanted to chime in on it, and love the show, and talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Who knew there were crazed minivan drivers out there? You know,
I
didn't.
We should all aspire to be this man. We have, I'll just talk to you and me, Bob. Like, I won't even bring anybody else in here. We get more worked up over a paper cut than he gets over being bumped a few times by cars on his bike.
I know.
That is a level of like Zen acceptance.
And high blood pressure? No, not that guy.
No, It just rolls right off of his back. It's just like, I can't even believe that he's so like, yeah, he bumped a few times.
Yeah, well, he whatever. Can't feel his back. He's been hit by cars so many times. I don't know what to say about that. If somebody hit me, even if it's just a glancing blow, I will never forget it, and I swear to God, I'll try to track him down. I'll try. I mean, several times? I admire the guy uses his bike, but several times? Wow.
It's like he understands and has accepted. See, we're not good at accepting reality or our fate. We fight, and we fight, and that's why we're tired and insane. But here's a guy who's like, if I'm going to ride my bike to work, and I am, people are going to hit me with their cars, and I need to be cool with that because it's part of it.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know if you
are you born that way?
Were
we born just, you know, wrapped so tight, or was that part of our childhood? Is that DNA, or is that part of our growing up? I think it's part of growing up.
I think it's nature and nurture. I think we were born the way we are. And then the things that happened to us as children sharpened it to a very, very deadly point. And we are incapable of going, you know, if you're riding your bike, some people are going to hit you with their cars and you need to be good with that. We don't have that at all. Lamar's closer to that. But Lamar, you would only need to hit you. You'd only need to run Lamar over once with your minivan.
One time. I think one time. Yeah.
And then he's done with the bike into work. Right.
Well,
but he at least, he'll take the one hit.
As a person that said for sure he had been hit a few times by a car, I like the way he took a stand. It could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing, depending. I guess it's dependent on if you're in the car or if you're on a bike. I mean, maybe that's.
I don't understand how it's a good thing. I have to be honest. I mean, I love the man. He's a listener.
Yeah.
But getting winged by buy an automobile and a bike. How is that a good thing? Now, when was it Olivia who crashed her car not long ago?
Just a few weeks ago. Yeah, it surely was. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that, I hate to say it, that could be kind of a good thing because she will never forget that. And that is a life lesson. She may be more careful so as to not, I don't know, we all kind of zone out once in a while if we're on an interstate. That was a learning moment for her. But getting hit by on your bike, I don't know about that.
Well, the fact that he takes the hit multiple times, I wish we had an unlimited budget here at the Bob and Sherry Show. And by the way, just my saying the words unlimited budget at the Bob and Sherry Show, Tony just saw the white light and the dead relatives beckoning. Okay?
Yeah, right.
But if we did have an unlimited budget, we could send this man a little vest that had like our logo on it, but in that reflective paint so that maybe the cars could see him coming.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Because how many times is this poor man who's just trying to ride his bike to work going to get bumped? Like, how many times?
Let's not get into saving the guy's life. Let's get into Bob and Sherry getting their name out there a little bit more. That's a very good idea.
Hey, I know my job. You need to learn your job. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
I guess it was about an hour ago. We were talking about this situation with Cara Mia and her friend. Her friend turned 21, and they decided to have a little house party. And Cara Mia,
the parents. The friend's parents invited a group of them over for dinner and served them steak, lovely, white Russians, and champagne. And Cara Mia texted. She's like, I'm drinking white Russians and champagne. What should I do? And I said, pull your hair back and get ready.
Right. I think that's got to be a drink that is the toe in the water drink, you know, because as a non-drinker, you say, well, how bad could this be? I don't like the taste of alcohol, but, you know, it's milk, right? It's milk. But then the combination, unless you're, you know, in the Big Lebowski, the combination is just so nasty. And I was thinking about it, and I recall my first drink. Now, it did not make me sick, but it made me look like kind of a fool. I did not drink, believe it or not, and anybody who's been on the road with me will have this kind of think that's kind of hard to believe, but I didn't have a drink till I was like in my mid-20s. We had family people who drank a lot, and I just never liked the effect that I would see on them. And so I just didn't drink. And then I got the opportunity at the age of 24, because I was doing a late night talk show, I got the opportunity to fly for free to London. And I was going to broadcast from London back to the United States. I was on a big radio station that covered like 17 states. And so I don't know how they put it together, but I got a free flight on British Airways. And I'd only been on a plane once or twice, and I had never been like out of the eastern part of the United States. So this was a big deal for me. And when I heard about it, and I'd be staying in a very fancy hotel in London, a beautiful hotel where the Queen would have her antique show every year. And I said to myself, you do not own a suit, and you need to get out there and get a suit. So I went out and I found, and I don't know why, a light brown corduroy thin whale suit. And I went, that's the one. And so I got it, and I got a pair of brown shoes because I thought, you know, they'd match pretty good with the light colored brown suit. And I wore that on the plane, and I got first class seat. And so,
well, in a corduroy suit like that, they took one look at you and said, he's somebody. Yeah. We don't know who.
That's
front
right.
Of the line.
Clearly.
Yeah, front of the
Clearly.
Line.
Right. And you can hear him coming.
Yeah, exactly. 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 So I'm in first class flying out of New York to London, and I'm looking around, and everybody around me is so well dressed. I mean, the men have these beautiful, they're wearing cufflinks, you know, And in my light brown corduroy suit, I was saying to myself, boy, did I make the right choice. I got a suit on here. Oh, by the way, it had a vest. Yeah.
Of course. That goes without saying. How could it not?
Yeah. And so I settle into the first class seat, and I got the window too. And this guy next to me has on, I don't know how to tell, an expensive suit, but it's an expensive suit. And he is a Swiss banker going from the U.S. to London. And he kind of was looking at me every once in a while. And by the way, I had my mustache, my 24-year-old mustache, and my hair below my ears. And I'm feeling pretty good. And once we take off, as a matter of fact, I think it was before we took off, they came around with a drink cart because we're first class. And he ordered something like a gin and tonic. I don't know what to order, right? But this is free. And it's grown-up stuff that they're serving. Now, at 24, I still had the mind of somebody who's like, I don't know, 19 maybe. And so, what would you like, sir? And I said, because they have a drink menu. I said, I believe I will have a Drambuie. And the guy...
Oh, my God.
Had you ever had a Drambuie?
No, I've heard of it.
Okay, just checking.
I've heard of it. It's called a cordial, and it's after dinner. So it's an after... We hadn't had anything to eat, and I'm throwing down a Drambuie. And then they came around again, and they said, sir, what would you like at this point? I'm going to have another Drambuie. And the guy just turned to me and he said, have you ever been out of your country? And I went, I have not. I have not. But it's going pretty good so far. And I sat there and just sipped on this really harsh scotch-based syrupy liquid. Two of them. And I swear to God, I fell asleep. I think I
Of
fell
course
asleep.
You did. Well, that corduroy suit was warm. Between the suit and the Drambuie.
Oh, you get a blanket too. Yeah, it was really nice. It's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I don't believe this.
There are so many things that are annoying about me that it would be hard to list them all in the amount of time that we have here. One of the most annoying things that I inflict on all of y'all all the time is if I read something and learn something interesting, I will die if I cannot share it. I just can't bear it. Like, I will wake my husband up in the middle of the night and go, you are not going to believe what I just learned about the Stegosaurus. So here is your turn. You are not going to believe how we came to have the idea of the white picket fence as representing the American dream. Have you ever thought about it?
I want to hear it. No, I want to hear it though.
No.
But your whole life you've grown up.
All my life.
Yeah, your whole life. Like, the home with the white picket fence, you know, the classic American ideal. So it started out, the picket fence, let's go all the way back to the beginning of America and to our ancestors who emigrated here from Europe. The picket fence originally began from the word piquet, which is a pointed stick that keeps archers protected from the opposition charging them. So you would have, like on the field of battle, you would have your archers with their bows and arrows, and then you would have this row of pointed sticks. So you could try to charge the archers, but good luck. Because if you fell on one of the PKs, you would be impaled. So when America began and the colonists began building homes here in the New World, it was property ownership was really aggressive. Like, you think it's bad now. It was really aggressive. And landowners, and this is in now the 1800s, landowners started using sharpened sticks as a protective border around their property. So the original American picket fence wasn't symbolizing prosperity or the nuclear family or we finally arrived or welcome. It was saying, come one step closer and you will be impaled. It was very aggressive, like a security measure. And right around the 1876 centennial, there was this gigantic housing boom that lasted right through the 1930s. And it was this whole new era for like the American idea of what a home to aspire to would look like. Yeah. And there was no fencing because the symbol was, the message you were sending was, I do not have to fence my land. I am so secure in my ownership. Hmm. And we will probably beat you to death with a club if you come too close, but there's no pointed stick fence that you have to worry about. Then in the 1950s, mm-hmm. we had the invention and the mad trend for chain link fencing. But chain link fencing, that sends a completely different message than totally. No fence at all or yeah, white picket right. fence. And by this point, movies and television are exploding. And the idea of that white picket fence was shorthand for movie makers and TV show creators to signal, here's a family that's got good manners, they're upper class, they're doing well. Mm-hmm. Hello, Leave It mm-hmm. to Beaver. Hello, Donna Reed Show. Hello, all of those stereotypical sitcoms. Then neighborhoods, people watching television went, well, I want that. I want my house to look like the house in the movie or the house on the TV show. So here comes the picket fence. And then we get to the 1980s and the 1990s. And now David E. Kelly has a TV show called Picket Fences, which is about a dysfunctional small town. And then here comes Desperate Housewives. And if you remember the opening of Desperate Housewives, every episode, somebody would be jogging past the white picket fence, walking mm-hmm. their dog past the white picket fence. But behind the white picket fences on Desperate Housewives was a seething melodrama of lies, betrayal, infidelity, and deceit. So here's the last thing to know about your picket fencing. Property fencing used to be color coordinated, and the different colors meant different things. So in the beginning of humans building fences, red meant whatever is inside this fence is a business or commercial activity. A white fence meant this is a homeowner, but a homeowner with money. And that's why early landowners painted their picket fences white, because that white paint was expensive to buy, to do, and to maintain. So mm-hmm. early white picket fence people were saying, we have created this fence made of sharpened sticks to impale you, but look, it's white because we got money.
Isn't that, I knew ultimately the reason that they became popular was television. I was going to start off by saying that. And I guess television and movies, that's what sold it, right?
Well, we always had them. And then TV and movies made them mean something else.
Something else.
But even before TV and movies, we were impaling trespassers. But if we had some money, we impaled them with a big old white stick instead of a plain wooden one. Humans are savage. We'll get this posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
This show just gets so involved in the most random things, more than like any radio show I've ever heard. Like a half an hour ago, somehow we were talking about my first suit on a business trip. And I chose a light brown corduroy suit. And we're all laughing like that is not something I would choose these days. And Max found some sort of a history of corduroy suits.
First of all, you can still buy corduroy suits. This is what GQ recently said about it. If you're wearing a corduroy suit, it's probably because you want to, not because some draconian dress code gave you no other choice. And if you're worried about your buddies flaming you for going full Wes Anderson mode, and of course Wes Anderson wears corduroy suits, relax. The corduroy suit's biggest selling point is its ability to hold its own split up. What does that mean?
I don't know. Is that a man suit tone?
It holds its own term split up. Unlike your usual business casual affair, corduroy suits work even harder when you wear the jacket with a knit polo and jeans or the pants with your plushest sweater. But if the cost per wear proposition isn't enough to separate you from your hard-earned shekels, we rounded up 6 corduroy suits, each with something different to offer. And they have all these pictures of these suits. You can get them in any color. And here's the best part. There are women's corduroy suits.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There are. There are.
Never seen that. I've never, ever seen that. I think the reason I thought they were cool was I grew up near Yale University, and I think the professors used to wear corduroy suits or corduroy jackets with the patches on the elbow. And, you know, it just kind of, it sank in. I don't think I would buy one today. I just don't. It seems like such a thing out of the past.
I wore it with hush puppies.
When I had one, I loved it. You wore hush puppies
with
a corduroy suit?
I wore it with hush puppies, yeah.
Well, there you go, bragging again.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite a look. Woo! It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to CleanOrigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to CleanOrigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's CleanOrigin.com, code RADIO10.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
I got locked out of my house.
Oh, no.
And my wife was gone.
Oh, no.
I had no cell phone and no car keys.
Your phone and keys were inside the house?
Everything was inside. She left with her daughter.
Were you outside with the dog?
Mm-hmm.
So you and the dog. Like one of those wilderness adventure stories where the man curls up with the dog to use the dog's body heat to keep him alive.
Bob Grills, right here.
Mm-hmm.
7 hours.
Did you not just go to a neighbor's house and, like, you could have called me?
Mm-hmm. I went to one. I didn't know your number because I only know my wife's number, like everybody else. Everything's on the phone. And she didn't have a key. Then I went to a friend's house about a mile away, walked the dog over there. We'd already had a two-mile walk. So added another 2 because he wasn't there either. He was away skiing and came back. None of my neighbors, except for a lady across the street and another lady down the street with her husband, they weren't there either. They were away. Am I friendly with?
So nobody has a key?
Nobody has a key and nobody. I was not comfortable just banging on a neighbor's door. I started out, here I am telling the story. My attitude was, all right, well, it's not a bad day out here. Let's do a little yard work, a little garage work, play with the dog. She'll be home around 3:30. This is like noon. And so I started doing all of that. She's not there, but I have no watch on either. And so I don't even know what time it is. So I'm doing all the yard work and all. I'm playing with the dog. Dog's loving it. I mean, he's outside all day long. And time goes on, and now I'm thinking, geez, I haven't eaten because I didn't have breakfast before I took the dog out. What is it I like to do? 3 times a day, Sherry.
Eat. You get real crazy when you don't get a meal.
So right around, I looked up, and the sun was going down. I've been out there 6 hours, and I started getting nervous. So because she's an hour and a half late from when I thought she was going to be there. See, when she picks up her kid, her son, it has to be at an exact time that her ex-husband decrees. So that was one of the reasons, even if I could get a hold of her, there was nothing I could do.
Oh, I wish that you knew my number. I would have come and gotten you.
Yeah, I didn't know it.
Of course, I don't know that you would have enjoyed being at my house any more than you enjoyed being outside, but we have food. We just had all the kids yesterday.
I could have gone to one of the neighbors' houses, but...
That's not your style, man. That's not how you roll.
It's not my style.
That is not what you do. Mm-mm.
Couldn't do that.
Don't see you doing that. I see you curled up with the dog for warmth under the deck more than I see you with the neighbors.
I got into the car. I was able to get in. My car was open. And so I was there. Then I started getting really nervous around 5.
That's a long time.
I stopped 5 people to use their cell phone. One guy just kept running past me. He was a runner. Didn't even look over.
While you were flagging him down?
Yeah, he didn't have any earbuds on either. And the others didn't have phones when they were out. Tried to meditate for a while because I thought, you know, this is a beautiful day. And Max gave me that meditation book about 11 years ago.
You did catch a lucky one where we live. Yeah. If it had been as cold as it's been,
or going to be
bad. Yeah.
So I was looking into the woods and I was meditating. And just as I started to really kind of do a good job meditating, which is hard for me, 4 boys decided to use the street next to me as their skateboarding street and ramp. You know, yo, 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 yo. It's hard to meditate with that, you know. So that didn't work out for me at all. It was back to raking the yard. I did a lot of raking. I have no feeling in my left hand right now.
I'm going to guess there are no leaves anywhere near your house. At least there weren't at sunset last night.
Or acorns or anything. No,
nothing.
It's pristine. Yeah.
What did Finn make of all this?
Well, he was confused. Now, he was loving it and all. He was loving it. Then, right around sunset, it became bizarre. I haven't eaten now since in 24 hours, right? I eat every 4 hours. I haven't eaten in 24 hours, and I'm in the back of the car. The sun is going down. Finn is huddled next to me, and I turn and I look, and a deer with antlers, like, what do you call them, 8-point?
Yeah.
Is chasing
a
doe through my front yard and around the back where I play ball with Finn. I went, well, that's kind of bizarre looking. Here comes another one. And so finally I went over to my neighbors and I said, I'm going to call my wife. And she was very nice, let me inside. And I called Mary and she said, yeah, I'm about 45 minutes away.
Yeah. It's like you were at Donner Pass.
It was. Thank you. Thank you for taking this seriously.
Come on down to the Bob and Sherry store with all kinds of great merchandise.
Color me curious.
Including the Bob and Sherry coloring book. A coloring book for exhausted adults.
You know what? I'm exhausted. You exhaust me.
Color your stress away. 50 fun images with lots of snarky slogans.
That's correct.
Order them for your friends and neighbors. Makes a great gift for mom on Mother's Day.
That's music to a mother's ears.
Or anytime. Get it today. Just hit the shop tab at bobandsherry.com.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
It's really incredible when you think about how the most humble human technology is doing the most crazy, amazing things. Like the Voyager space probes, which were supposed to die decades ago, or one of them's left our solar system and is still, you know, transmitting. It's still awake and alive. We have little teeny tiny robotic vehicles cruising across the surface of Mars and sending back pictures of the Martian planet and the sounds of Martian wind. But we sent the Odysseus lunar lander, which is the first spacecraft that we've sent to the moon in 50 years. We sent that to the moon, and it had a malfunction when it landed. It face planted. And one of its legs snapped. And this was the thing that my husband was like, how come we're not seeing any photos from the lunar lander? Well, I guess because Karamea designed it and sent it up with one old flip phone camera, and it happened to face plant on the flip phone camera. All right, here's the latest news. It has died completely, and it will wake up again. Yep, it will never wake up again, which I think is really interesting. You know, for all my fellow tinfoil hat folks. So it was built by a company out of Houston, Texas called Machines. And the lunar night, the moon night on the moon lasts for 14 days. So they powered it down and said, let's let it just sleep for a few weeks while the moon's south pole faces away from the sun. But once the orbit changes and the sunlight starts hitting the solar panels of the Odysseus lander, maybe it'll wake back up. So they started listening. Just like on March 20th, they began waiting. Is it going to wake up? Is it going to wake up? Is it going to wake up? And then it turns out that, nope, it sent back a final farewell and then plunged forever into darkness and it's done. So all of that genius engineering and gazillions of dollars and everything else to have it face plant on apparently its only camera and then completely die forever. It's really sad, isn't it?
And it is sad. Yeah, it is sad. But by the way, I like the company's name, Machines. I think that's a very cool
Intuitive
name.
Intuitive Machines, yeah.
Yeah, very cool name. But should we be surprised, though? I mean, look where it went, right? Look where it went.
I'm a little surprised because we do have functional unmanned vehicles operating on Mars. And we have a couple that were built back in the 70s that have left the solar system. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised, actually, that in 2024 this happened. Are you not when you look at what else we've been able to do? This doesn't shock you?
Well, I know there's many successful stories that you've just named some of them. But, you know, you'll get a recall right here on Earth of I'm not going to say which brand because they've all had it one time or another, a well-known car brand that's respected, but all of a sudden, you know, they say, oh, I'm sorry, 47,000 of the seatbelts don't work. Okay, that's right here. That's pretty controllable. The idea of sending a craft, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles away and it lands, that once in a while something might screw up.
But we've reached a level that something like this should be simple. Is that what you're saying, Cherry? I mean, I think we've got past all that falling over when it gets to the ground.
Yeah, I mean, Max and I talk all the time together about the Mars rovers because we're obsessed and the little Martian helicopter that delivered the rover to the planet. Yeah, I kind of feel like, well, boys, if we're doing that, we should be able to not have this thing faceplant on its apparently only camera, which is very, very sus.
This is on the heels of the Russians crash landing something there that they screwed up and it crashed there. So you think that the Russians landed something there over 50 years ago that was unmanned. And then, of course, we had all those manned missions there that were successful. So you're thinking, oh, we're so much more advanced now. There's no way that would happen.
I think the Russians crashed it on purpose and they had some of Putin's rivals in the craft.
Because they can't all fall out of a window.
No,
you're so right, Bob. They can't all fall out of windows.
Right.
We got to change it up a little bit. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry are teaming up with Visit Florida this school year to salute teachers for all the hard work they do by giving them a chance to win a well-deserved relaxing vacation to Margaritaville Beach Resort, Fort Myers Beach. Situated on the Gulf of Mexico, this laid-back retreat is the perfect place for our teachers to find the coolest shells in the sand, sip frozen concoctions, indulge in local fare, and revel in spectacular sunsets. Plus, each teacher and their guest will receive exclusive access to the Fins Up Beach Club to enjoy the action-packed aquatic playground or chill out to the sound of great music on the Sunset Terrace. If you want to nominate a special teacher or even yourself to win this awesome vacation, log on to bobandsherry.com and hit the contest tab. Nominated teachers could win weekly prizes and qualify for the monthly grand prize, a spot to travel with us this summer on our trip for teachers to Florida. Teachers, we salute you with our trip for teachers to Florida from Visit Florida and Bob and Sherry. Contest rules apply.
It's Bob and Sherry, the podcast.
What are memories from your childhood that you just never let go of? There is a moment here or there, and there could be more than, you know, two or three moments. There could be many of them, or maybe there aren't that many of them. Somebody who does this sort of thing came up with the following that people told he or she about. Christmas dinner, going to the beach, going to your grandparents' house, hearing the ice cream van music, getting pocket money, buying candy from a little local store, learning to ride a bike, getting a pet, buying your first album or single, counting down the days until summer arrives, climbing a tree, school lunches, your first crush, listening to your favorite song on repeat, blowing up birthday candles on a cake, skimming stones, learning to read, playing in the leaves, being in the school play, spelling tests. Oy. Boy, I know Sherry was good at that. And having somebody read you a bedtime story, and finally winning an award. I can remember just about all of those.
Same.
I have not let those go. I mean, even Same. With the Christmas dinner, you know, our family was not famous for getting together every night for dinner, but I can remember Christmas dinners because my father made such a big deal out of it. Now, going to your grandparents' house, that was like the hall of nightmares. Going to their house,
That's why you remember it.
That is why,
because it was
that is why
because it was cold and unwelcoming.
I could still see myself as a little tiny, like barely out of being a toddler, looking up at pops looking down at me, and then walking away.
yeah. I mean, just because you don't necessarily remember only the good things. You remember the things right. that really jump. Like as a kid, everything is new, but there are certain things that your kid brain understands to be the rules. And one of the rules is that these are my grandparents. This is my family. They're glad to see me, except
exactly.
when they're not.
Yeah, that you see it on TV and you're sold a bill of goods. Listen, I was at a party and I didn't know this woman very well. We'd been together socially a couple of times. And so, you know, trying to go with chit chat. And I said, so where she had, I think, two children. And I think they were both boys. And I said, so are your boys still local here? And she said, oh, no. One of them lives in Boston. And I think the other one was somewhere in Florida. And I said, you're going to get together, you know, for the holidays? Oh, no. we saw them about a year ago, and we're good.
Wow. I can't even.
Whoa.
I mean, all you can do is put yourself in that situation. I can't imagine mm-hmm. not seeing my girls. But mm-hmm. I certainly come from a family where, you know, we're good. Hope you're well. No need to get together. So I do understand that.
It's so the opposite, though. I mean, are there more people like us than we imagine, or are we outliers with this sort of thing? You know, Lamar, you've never talked about grandparents. Did you? Were you close to your grandparents?
One set of the grandparents, my father's set, we lived in a single wide trailer in their yard. And so they had this old house, and of course they didn't have plumbing inside and stuff like that. They had outhouses and the slop jars under the bed, and you know that kind of thing.
Did you just say slop jars under the bed?
That's what they called them.
Hello, I guess to everybody you fancy listening in Miami Beach and in Northern California.
I guess you stuck up people called them chamber pots, but that's not what we called them. We called them slop jars.
I had no issue with what they're called. My issue is that it's there.
I have an issue that it's there and what it's called. Are you kidding me?
When it's nighttime and you don't have outside lights, you can't get to the outhouse. And it's a long way away because you don't build the outhouse close to the main house.
Could you put a flashlight by the door?
Come on.
You are making this up.
But you don't want to be in an outhouse in the dark. You just don't want to. And flashlights are spooky.
Yes, I do.
If you're in the outhouse with a flashlight, it's spooky.
Oh, no. It's not as spooky as grandma's pot under the bed. I can tell you that right
Slop
now.
Jar. Slop jar.
Well, let me go ahead. This is how I learned. Band, see? Okay. Think about this. I've told y'all, when I first went to school, they had all the boys' toilets sitting out in the floor, okay? So I had to get my system to never go to the bathroom during the day. This started when I was a kid sleeping with my grandmother. I did not go to the bathroom at night. I did not ever, because the jar was intimidating. The slop jar was very intimidating. I just couldn't make it work.
There's the Book of Lamar. There's your first
boy. We are just, you know, I can't argue with a thing the man has said, though. Everything has made sense to me. Everything. Yeah. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
So if you were with us a little bit ago, Lamar was sharing about how he could not, as a child, bring himself to use the slop jar at his grandparents' house because they didn't have indoor plumbing. They only had an outhouse. And so Lamar never went to the bathroom between bedtime and breakfast, which served him well because I think he also never went to the bathroom while he was a student K through 12 at school. Right? Am I remembering that? Yeah. There are training bras. I've tried training my bangs. You have trained your bladder, my friend, and everything else.
Impressive. Yeah, that's very impressive.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't thought about this since I was probably 5 or 6 years old, but my great-grandparents at their house, they had a bathroom that was aqua and black tile, very 1950s, nice, right? Very mid-century.
Nice.
And there was a rusty, chock-full of nuts coffee can sitting next to the toilet on the floor. And I filled it up with water to make it into a pool for my Barbies. And my grandma in black hair had all the conniptions. And she was like, oh, don't do that. That's so dirty. I'm like, what? It's a pool for Barbie. And my grandma was like, do you know what that can is for?
Oh, my God.
Apparently, my great-great-grandfather, who I don't remember because he died when I was very young, just needed a little extra water, let's say. I don't know what Peg Leg was feeding him. It sounds like bales of hay.
You may not remember him, but I will.
I think she was feeding my great-great-grandfather bales of hay and buckets of oats because the water coming from the municipal supply was insufficient to handle the load. Mm. So thank you, Lamar, for bringing back that enchanting childhood memory that, it had been lost to time. It's Bob and Sherry. Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.